It's all for you, Ben's Lords. It's all for you.
My name is Jason. I am the manager of the last video store in the universe, Binge Movies, in sunny tropical Akron, Ohio. When I'm not busy managing a video store that keeps us back from the precipice of utter cosmic eternal torture and darkness, I'm going to movie theaters to see movies about the Antichrist. They say don't take your work home with you. If there's a first omen, that presupposes there's a second omen. In fact, now there's five omens, not including the remake. And I can't say that this has exactly spoiled the legacy of the Omen franchise, because the Omen franchise hasn't really been touched since 2006's remake. Then the 90s, they had a girl Omen, which I think went either straight to TV or straight to movies, or straight to video, rather. And, you know, the Omen 2 and Omen 3, they're movies that exist. Best part of Omen 3 is the second coming of Christ. Spoil the ending of that for you. I'm recording this on the day of the eclipse. So far, Christ has not returned, at least in my time zone. If he's returned in yours, please send me a message. I am not... Well, I guess I should start with some house cleaning and stuff. I go to the movie theater. I watch movies. I react to them on the internet. And people then listen to my reactions. I will do a spoiler-free version up front and a spoiler-filled version on the back end, but this is a prequel to a movie that has a very definitive and large legacy. So if you don't know nothing about The Omen and you're thinking about seeing this movie, you probably don't want to listen to any of this. If you've seen the original Omen, I'm gonna dip my toe into that water a little bit, so... there's going to be unpreventable spoilers. This is an instant reaction podcast. You have been warned. Okay. Extended cut. Available exclusively to patrons of all levels at patreon.com/bingemovies. Thank you for your continued support. The first Omen is a film about omens. No, it's a film about devils, and it's a really funny thing. We don't get too many Omen movies, or we haven't gotten, well, let me back this up. Franchises and legacy sequels, prequels, that sort of stuff is really interesting, because there are certain things that feel untouchable, and there are other things that don't necessarily feel untouchable. And then that's subjective from person to person, but it's also kind of what the culture has received as being sacrosanct, no pun intended. And in this instance, I don't feel like The Omen, with its many subsequent sequels that have, and reimaginings, I feel like there's been a TV Omen as well at some point. I don't feel as if, I don't feel like it's hallowed ground. I don't feel like it's, cherished by anybody. Now, the original film is a classic, and a lot of people probably cherish that film, and rightly so, but that's from the early 70s, or at least mid-70s, and so, you know, that's 50 years ago, right? And it doesn't quite have the same reputation as The Exorcist, although it's kind of there, right? It's sort of in that pantheon of Exorcist, Rosemary's Baby, and The Omen, of great 70s horror. So, but we've already gotten so many shitty sequels in the 80s and in the 90s, and okay reboot from what I remember from 20 years ago. It's hard to believe that we've been getting reboots for 20 years, but God, have we. So when you walk into something like The First Omen, knowing now that The First Omen is no longer The First Omen, because now this is The First Omen, and it's called The First Omen, which means The Omen is now The Second Omen, even though that's technically The First Omen, and the third is the second, but the fourth is the fifth. But this is the fifth, time to clean the remake, whatever. Knowing all of that, you walk into these things with a little bit of trepidation, because you're like, I've seen plenty of this stuff. We're going to get a lot more of it this year. These sort of legacy sequel prequel kind of things that don't really move the needle for me too much anymore. Occasionally you get a good one. You get a Creed or something along that line. And a lot of people like Rogue One. Didn't do it for me, but I know a lot of people liked it. I thought it was a very impressive visual movie. So when you walk into something like this, you kind of know, you kind of walk in with, like I do, I walk in with trepidation, just sort of like, okay, show me what you got. I mean, not even trepidation, even trepidation. I walk in very lackadaisical. Okay, film, show me what you got. What are we working with here? And I think that straight off the rip, this movie has some really great shot choices, some really interesting visuals, a lot of uses of cross dissolves in a very disorienting and hypnotic way. It falls on to some same tropes that a lot of these movies have, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But it sets itself up as an Omen movie, and I think for long stretches of it, when it's at its best, you are forgetting that it is a prequel to The Omen. It kind of has, I would say, major portions of it that I feel stand on its own two feet as a horror movie that, and I'm no Omen expert, it's been a couple of years since I've seen it, that don't necessarily, as far as I reckon, don't screw up continuity or don't, because it's not just diving into that Omen fan service, for lack of a better word. It's really sort of telling its own story. And that story is of a young woman who is an American who has come to Rome by the behest of a cardinal, I believe, who was, she was kind of a ward of an orphanage that he was a priest over, a bishop over earlier in his priestly career or his vocation. And he's gone to become cardinal. He's gone to Rome, and he has invited her to come over to Rome and to join this abbey and attached church and attached orphanage so that she can take her vows. So that she can take the veil, so she can become a nun. She's a studying nun. She's a what's the word for it? She's an aspirant. So she's posted up in the city with a roommate, and the two of them are aspirants for being included into sisterhood of this particular order. And she's been raised by the church her whole life. She's a very sheltered person, very odd, very strange, very bottled up in a way. But pleasant, very nice. Her Italian roommate is a little bit more free-willing, especially because she's getting ready to take her vows. And so she kind of wants to live a little bit of life before she takes her vows. And at this orphanage, she meets a very strange little girl who has very familiar behavior patterns of a particular deeply scary child from the 1970s. And there's also a priest that we're introduced to who is on the hunt. He's come into some early information about this plot, conspiracy going on within the Catholic Church. A Catholic Church deep state that essentially is trying to bioengineer and crossbreed to get to the Antichrist, in the belief that if they control the Antichrist, this subsect of the church, then he'll be evil, but he won't be so evil that he destroys the world. And ultimately, he'll usher in people back to faith, and he'll usher in the second coming of Christ. This is the belief of this group. And everybody in the movie acknowledges that's a very insane premise and nuts and crazy. But I've looked outside and I recognize that nuts and crazy surrounds me every day. So, yeah, is it laughable? Used to be. Yeah, so it's really interesting, you know, and that's, then the movie becomes a mystery horror film about the group of them, but it's mainly about this particular aspirant. And as she tries to figure out for herself her own life and her own faith and her own calling and the credibility of everything around her. there's a lot of different forces pulling her in a lot of different directions, and she's trying to figure out who she is, and she's trying to figure out the world around her in a foreign country. And there's early shots of Rome that I don't want to say are directly lifted from The Omen, because I don't think they are, but they're very 70s style composition. And I cannot praise the director and the cinematographer, director of photography, enough. I think this is a really good looking movie for the most part. It seems to me, it could be off base, that they filmed this in the real world. Some of it's obvious sets. I don't mean that in like they look obvious. I mean like they can only do what they're doing on sets. But the sets are mostly pretty good, but it also feels like they filmed on some locations, even some interiors of some real structures. I don't know if it was actually Rome. I don't know if it was like in England somewhere on a lot. I don't know. I don't know if this is on Pinewood. I don't know, okay? All I know is the movie looks good. Does it look as good as the original Omen? No. For like actually being in Rome and filming movies the way that we used to? No, it's not quite to that level. But it's as good as you're probably going to get in the modern era, to be honest with you, especially for a horror movie. I mean, this is what a breath of fresh air to have such engaging filmmaking for a horror film. The biggest thing with something like this is you don't want it to do a disservice to the original, which I don't think this does. You don't, you want it to be interesting, which I think it mostly is. I think the movie suffers a little bit from the modern movie problem, that, you know, 70s movies, which is probably my favorite era of screenwriting at the very least, if it's not my favorite era of films, it was all about naturalism, right? And so you have all these characters, maybe having these sort of naturalistic and actually kind of intelligent conversations. You know, it was like people who, it was intelligent people speaking intelligently to each other. It felt, in many cases, very natural. And they would sprinkle in plot points and exposition and all this other sort of stuff into that naturalistic dialogue. Now, we're talking about top-tier movies, because the 70s had some awful, awful films in it. But we're talking about top-tier movies, okay? Movies like The Omen, The Exorcist, Network, things like that. And so you'd sprinkle that in, and then you would really sit with the humans in their emotions. And what it was, The Omen's a drama, first and foremost, and a horror picture, right? And so everything was sort of situated within the context of drama. This is sort of like that, but it's much more just situated in the context of genre horror filmmaking. And so you're not going to get like long scenes of Gregory Peck or somebody of the equivalent contemplating what's going on and trying to piece it together. You're not going to get interesting characters in a boat trying to kill a shark. Those days are over, unfortunately. What you get is you get a lot of very short, rapid scenes where characters speak to each other, and the pace of the film hits like a staccato, where like every scene, even if it's the same three characters, you know, they're only saying two or three lines in a scene, and then cut, and then next day, and we're somewhere else, it's the same two or three characters, and two or three lines, and then cut, next day, or sometime later, and a couple lines, and maybe it goes a little bit longer, and cut, and next day. And that's not great. That's just how we make movies now. And when it does that stuff, it feels like any other cheap sort of Blumhouse, Night Swim bullshit movie. But when it slows down, it takes its time, it focuses on the gore and the psychological terror. There are a handful of real, genuine scares in this movie. That's subjective, of course, but there's a couple of very unnerving things and some very scary things, which that just does not seem possible anymore with a studio film. This is, I think, 20th Century Studios, which is, of course, a subsidiary of Disney. I think they have the rights to The Omen. And so this is the movie you're getting. You're getting a studio picture with some real teeth to it. I mean, this movie is, it's not Evil Dead Rise, but it's bloody, it's gory, it's spooky, it's cerebral. And then again, you add those hypnotic camera movements and dissolves and fades and some really interesting camera trickery and perspective and all this other sort of stuff. That makes it a much more, in my opinion, engaging film than a lot of the other spooky nun movies. You know, young nun goes to a convent and the nuns there are spooky. Like, we've been getting those movies forever, and there's a real run of them lately. I think they are Blumhouse movies. This movie blows any of those out of the water. So love the direction, love the cinematography. The actress, the main actress who plays our main character, Margaret, Sister Margaret, or soon to be Sister Margaret, I should say, incredible. She's asked to do a lot performance-wise. She's asked to be and behave in a variety of ways, in a variety of contexts. And she knocks it out of the park. And I think especially in the last third, maybe even last half of this movie, she's fantastic. And so much of the movie just ends up resting on her shoulders in the best way possible. So this is an enthusiastic recommendation if you want to be chilled, thrilled, and grossed out a little bit. Is it the best horror movie in the world? No, it's not. Is it one of the best studio horror films I've seen in a long time? Yes, it is. Is it one of the best Omen movies that's ever been made? There's five of them, including this one, I think. There might be more. Maybe this is the sixth one. I don't know. But this one's up there, man. This one is really, really good. Maybe the second best Omen movie? Fun fact about the Omen movies, I think it's Omen 2. It might be Omen 2 and Omen 3, actually, which were shamelessly ripped off by the Trinity Broadcasting Network, who were the co-producers of the Omega Code films. There's at least two of them. And in particular, Omega Code 2 Megiddo is a mishmash of the Omen 2 and Omen 3. Almost down to the, like, line for line. How there wasn't a lawsuit will perplex me to the day I die. I find it interesting that people who make their money telling stories about the Antichrist, when it came time to write a screenplay, and by people I mean TBN, couldn't figure out how to write an Antichrist movie. They had to steal their own story back from Hollywood. Don't you know your own story? Or were you making it up all along? Okay. That's it for non-spoilers. I'll be in the spoilers on the other side of this. Before I do, though, I'm going to give a little bit of housekeeping, like 2 quick minutes. Had a health scare by the time you're listening to this about a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. I'm still recovering. I'm still not at 100%. Don't know when I'm going to be at 100%. I got a long road ahead of me. So I am still working on producing stuff, but I've hit a delay both for Patreon and for the main podcast. And so I need to prioritize myself to, so I can keep living my life. That's basically it. So I say all that to say, I'm going to continue putting stuff out on the feed, both Patreon and other stuff. I've got drafts and drafts and drafts, but its release may be delayed or a little bit more sporadic, but I'm not going anywhere. Not yet. Okay. If you're not a patron, this movie review ends right now. It's over. But if you are a Patreon member, supporter, friend of the show, this review continues on with deep, disgusting, dark Antichrist secrets.